question to the youth. Are you Felix? Can I call you Felix? If you're doing these things, I don't mean Felix the cat. I mean this Felix in the scripture. Are you one of those that have heard about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, and you don't want to hear anymore? The New Testament is just as serious about judgment against those who are at war with God as the old. Colossians 3:6, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience.
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Pastor Rick is currently teaching a special topical message. Please stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. And now here's Pastor Rick with part two of his message called Satan's Global Influence in Genesis chapter 6.
People in the days of Hosea did not want the prophets to be right because of their war with God. Romans chapter 8, Paul writes, because the carnal mind is warring against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor can it be. That person that is not right with God is going to be at war with him, and it can be no other way. And there are various degrees of this, of course. There's the one that is a decent moralist, but he still wants nothing to do with Jesus Christ. He is at war with Christ. And here is the reason they mocked the prophets as silly and insane. Hosea tells us in the 10th chapter, you have plowed in wickedness. What a picture. You're plowing in wickedness. He says, you have reaped iniquity. You have eaten the fruit of lies because you trusted in your own way in the multitude of your mighty men. The things that appeal to you at the cost of the things that appeal to God. Consider the insults the prophets had to endure and the source. Tell me something, Pastor, about the people who insulted the prophets, called them insane, called them silly, about the people who worked on the ark and laughed at Noah and his family. Well, Isaiah gives us a glimpse, because Isaiah, incidentally, was contemporary with Hosea, and these men were no different from Noah in his days. We read in Isaiah 8, he tells us about the people. He says, and when they say to you, here's the seduction, here's the people seducing the Jewish people to leave Yahweh and follow the demonic gods that of man's creations. He says, when they say to you, seek those who are mediums and wizards who whisper and mutter. And then the response of the prophet, which is totally sane, should not a people seek their God? Should they seek the dead on behalf of the living? So these are the people insulting the prophets, the ones who sought the wizards, the ones who had seances, the ones who wanted some spiritual contact with anything or anyone except Yahweh, the only true God. And the time of judgment was now upon them, and they were fast approaching the point of no return, where no more prophets could be sent. The dark alternative to grace is judgment. And that judgment carries wrath. And that wrath is the wrath of God, and it cannot be measured. Hosea told them that because they hate Yahweh and love their own way, they attack the prophets. That's what he was saying. This is what you're telling. You're telling, we're the crazy ones. And really, he is asking, who truly is the one that is out of their mind? And it's the same today. Do you think the transgender group is calling you sane for not accepting their insanity? It's the other way around. They're the ones that have departed from a sane mind, and they have all of these arguments that just are so stupid. They don't merit a response. You'd be casting pearl before swine. Accept this response. Judgment's upon you. You have a choice. And if you don't make it quickly, you're going to be given over to your own passions and lusts, and then it will be too late. The people in the days of Noah, they identified with all that God disliked. So they disliked God. Are we seeing this today? I identify with this. Well, you ain't identifying with Jesus Christ, but yet you want to be considered a churchgoer. You want to be considered a decent person. You want to be considered someone who should be listened to. And not stopping there, they began to like those who like God. This was the case with Micaiah the prophet. This is the story of Jehoshaphat, the righteous king, who had buddied up with Ahab, the unrighteous king. And they had gone out to war. This is when the unrighteous king said to the good king, "Here, put on your godly robes with the bullseye on it, and I'll dress in camouflage, and let's go out to battle." Well, Jehoshaphat found himself surrounded. The enemies thought, "Hey, this is the king of Israel who we're after," and they realize he's not, and Jehoshaphat calls out to God. But before all of that, because Jehoshaphat gets saved, the bad king does not. Before all of that, the two kings decided, well, there needs to be a blessing on us before we go to war. So the bad king called all of his false prophets, and they said, "You're going to destroy the enemy and this and that." And Jehoshaphat, being a good king, we pick it up in 2 Chronicles 18. So the bad king has his false prophets come, and the good king says, "Is there not a prophet of Yahweh? Is there not a prophet of the God whom I serve?" And that's when the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "There is still one man by whom we may inquire of Yahweh." You can hear his tone. Yeah, there's still one. But I hate him. That's what it says. What I'm trying to say to you, those who dislike God will dislike God's people. And he continues, "I hate him because he never prophesies good concerning me." Well, why not? If you do good, will you not be blessed? Anyway, he continues, he says, "Because he never prophesied good concerning me, but always evil." Yeah, because you're evil. That's why. He is Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And Jehoshaphat said, "Let not the king say such things." Don't say such things about this man of God. And so we see that there's nothing new under the sun. This is the case today with those who are not only transgender, possessed by that, but possessed by other evil thoughts against Christ. We must, as Christians, we must maintain intolerance without contempt for the individual. And that's a lot of work. It's impossible without the Spirit. This infuriates Satan even more. When you are loving and stand your ground, you will infuriate the enemy even more. Nothing is new. 1,000 years have passed, or thousands of years have passed, since the days of Genesis and the days of the prophets, Hosea, Isaiah. Conditions are 1,000 times better for us in life, or different, I should say. But human nature is exactly the same. Human nature has been the same since the fall in the Garden of Eden. It has gone unchanged. Mothers and fathers are still having broken hearts. As they did in the days of Noah, so in the days now. As they did in the days of Adam. What do you think it broke the heart of Adam and Eve when Cain killed his brother, their son? One son killing another son? Relationships struggled in those days. They struggle today. As they did with Cain and Abel, so they do today. The prophet Hosea had a wife who loved lots of other men. The war continues. Bible teachers are still called silly and insane. To this very day, we are called silly. I enjoy this part. Having or showing a lack of common sense or judgment, to be absurd, to be foolish, that's supposed to be us for preaching God's word. Jesus said, "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And he called out Jesus, of course, called out the generation that he lived in, as the prophets have in every generation that they found themselves. But here's the thing. Isaiah the prophet calls out the politicians and the people of his day. He said in Isaiah 28, "Drunkards of Ephraim will be trampled underfoot." They didn't care for that. And then Isaiah logs for us what their response was. In the middle of his message, he tells us they mocked him, they taunted him, they laughed at him, for his Bible teaching, for his verse-by-verse, his expositional teaching. They said, the mockers, that it was for children, not for adults, and certainly not for those in politics. And so we read, Isaiah says, this is their response. "Whom will he teach knowledge?" They're saying this to Isaiah. "And whom will he make to understand the message? Those just weaned from milk?" That's little children. "Those just drawn from breast? For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little." See, they're mocking him. It's saying he teaches, these men of God teach the word precept upon precept, line upon line. They teach God's word. These guys come along and say, ooh, you're teaching God's word expositionally, verse by verse, book by book. Ooh, we're supposed to be impressed by you, Isaiah. Nothing new under the sun. Attempts were made to silence Jeremiah the prophet, outlawing his opposition through preaching God's word. They wanted him arrested as a madman. Jeremiah 29, this is the evil politician saying this about Jeremiah. The Lord has made you priest instead of Jehoiada, the priest, so that there should be officers in the house of Yahweh over men, every man, who is demented and considers himself a prophet, that you should put him in prison and in stocks. Now, therefore, why have you not rebuked Jeremiah of Anathoth, who makes himself a prophet to you? The odd thing is, everything Jeremiah said came true. His prophecies stood. But this wicked man, he died. But there he is saying, you've been given authority by God to silence these crazy prophets who say they're prophets, but they're not. Why haven't you arrested him? He points out the town that Jeremiah was from, just so there'd be no confusion about what man he was talking about. They accuse Jesus of having a demon and being insane at the same time. John chapter 10, verse 20, and many of them said, he has a demon and is mad, as in crazy. Why do you listen to him? Satan still says that. Satan still says the thing that is said in the scripture that he says. Leave us alone, Jesus. What do we have to do with you? I have some encouragements, hopefully, towards the end, towards the moms and dads and the youth that have to face these things. But what is insanity? What is madness? Inexperience that is holding a false view, a lie, as though it were the truth. It is a false view of reality, not interested in reality at the same time. It produces wildness of words and action. Our children seem, some of them, not all of them, thank you, Lord, seem to think it is better to be considered cool than crazy for Christ. That's something we should talk to them about. They charged the Wesley brothers, John and Charles Wesley, who were part of the Great Awakening in Europe and England. In fact, John Wesley likely saved England from a civil war. Both of them, incredible men of God. Well, they charged both of them with insanity. When they came back from America and they had the spiritual experience, these two men, of an emotional Holy Spirit experience, well, they charged them with being crazy. Charles and John, they wrote a hymn on that. Fools and madmen let us be, yet it is our sure trust in thee. Fine, you think we're crazy? Have at it. When Paul stood before Festus, of course, they accused him of being crazy. Paul's response was, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and reason. That's what Hosea was saying. That's what Isaiah was saying. That is what Noah did. Speak the words of truth and reason. And we're told in the scripture to speak the truth in love. And love means you're looking out for the other one as best you can. Moses told the world, get lost. Hebrews 11, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses was not interested in being applauded by the world or being viewed as being cool and acceptable. You know what a diddy bop is? A diddy bop is an adjusted walk, and it says to everybody, I'm not only cool, but I can fight. And it may be true, but it's not always true. It's this kind of walk that reveals that the individual is actually very insecure. In certain neighborhoods, it is a defense mechanism. If you walk the wrong way, you can invite trouble. So we have this idea of wanting to appeal to the wrong people the wrong way. There is a way to appeal to wrong people, and that is with truth and love. And the coolness that our youth seek to gain, the acceptance they want from those who do not love the Lord, is a seduction. And so I would have some questions because I have found out that everyone is determining their own destiny by how they treat Jesus Christ. You are determining your own future by how you treat the Christ. Isaiah 65, God says, I have stretched out my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, according to their own thoughts. Man, the Bible gets it right all the time. This is exactly what we face in our generation. When one falls out of love with truth, they fall in love with lies. It is a default. Once you've rejected Christ, you start receiving any other wacky, unfounded thing that is out there based on your feelings. So a question to the child raised to love Christ, but loving the lure of the world instead. Why don't you love Jesus Christ? You love yourself. Why don't you love your maker also? The proof that you love yourself is you care what other people think about you. You're selective ones, perhaps, but you still care. Why are you so chummy with a world that hates the Christ that died for you? Ephesians 5, I know. You quote these scripture verses and you think that they're not achieving anything. Don't give up. That is not automatically true. Ephesians 5, 6, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. There is a cost to rejecting Christ. Why not make a choice to stand for Christ instead? 1 Corinthians 16, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. What is wrong with encouraging our youth to be strong in the face of this perverse generation or any generation? Not since the Tower of Babel have the youth faced such an onslaught, a global onslaught. It used to be localized. Now it's everywhere. The temptation, the perversity, it's out loud. James 4, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity? It's war with God. Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. And there are people in the church that say, you know, quoting these verses to them is inflammatory. Quoting these verses to them is not loving. So withholding scripture from them is. These are people that have high positions in churches. John chapter 3, verse 36, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. He does not believe in the Son, does not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him, like you're wearing it. Why are you falling for the same delusion that Satan fell for? And that delusion was this, I don't need God. Acts chapter 2, now we come to Felix. This is when Paul had reasoned with Felix as best he could. It says, now, as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come. See, this is the template for we Christians. How do we face these things? We continue to preach the word of God. What is the alternative? What is the alternative to not preaching the word of God? It's putting a gag order on your Bible, putting a gag order on truth. You can't mention. Evil can say whatever it wants to say, but you can't say anything. And it is heartbreaking to see people in churches, some of them, trying to tell us that these things are, you know, just making matters worse. They're not very loving. They are absolutely loving. Paul was totally loving when he reasoned about self-control and judgment to come and righteousness. What, hate was his motive? It says Felix was afraid. He was convicted. He has no out. He couldn't say anything against this. And answered, go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you. Of course, he was a corrupt man, and he kept Paul in prison so he could, hoping to get money from Paul. It never happened. Neither do we know that Felix was ever saved. So my question to the youth, are you Felix? Can I call you Felix? If you're doing these things, I don't mean Felix the cat. I mean this Felix in the scripture. Are you one of those that have heard about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, and you don't want to hear anymore? The New Testament is just as serious about judgment against those who are at war with God as the old. Colossians 3, 6, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. You say, what if my child is this way? You continue to love your child. Try to be there as much as you can. But when it comes when it comes to dialogue to your lifestyle, you better be standing strong or you're going to get sucked down with them. You want to love your child? Continue to pray. Continue to serve. Because you do not get the outcome that you look for from prayer and service does not mean that God is displeased with you. In fact, it was the other way around. Paul got a lot of things. You know, I was thinking this week, Paul said, 5 times I suffered shipwreck. And there was at least one more coming after he wrote that. 5 times I've suffered shipwreck. How many times have you had relationships that have suffered shipwreck? Because that apostle had tons of relationships that suffered shipwreck. A boat going to the bottom of the Mediterranean Sea was not his worst problem. He survived those. He also survived relationships that suffered, metaphorically, the shipwreck. Are you hiding from God is another question I would like to ask those who are raised in a Christian home and are turning against God. Adam hid from God after he sinned. Genesis 3, verse 8, Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Yahweh among the trees of the garden. They thought that this would work. Their understanding of God was defective. They thought God did not know everything, that he couldn't see beyond this. There they were, and they were caught. Do you love what God hates is the question to our youth. Do you love what God hates, or do you hate what God loves? Again, Hosea chapter 9. I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your fathers as the first fruits on the fig tree in its first season. In other words, God said, I had such hope in you. I had such desire for you. I gave you so much. I expected you to respond to that grace. But they went to Baal Peor and separated themselves to shame. They became an abomination like the thing they loved. Hosea is writing about behavior of the Jews centuries earlier in the days of Moses. When they were brought out of Egypt, they saw the miracles. They saw God provide for them. And yet they turned to fake gods nonetheless. Do you hear God's love for you? God is not ever surprised, period. He's not surprised by our weakness. He has made serious plans to help us through our weakness. But he is determined to stand against all evil, and should we not be the same? Genesis 4, he said this to Cain after Cain killed his brother. Or not yet, but when Cain was angry. If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. I mean, at least resist it, Cain, which he did not do. Cain only thought for himself. I'm almost done. And so to the strong youth, to those parents who are strong in Christ, and you have to endure these things, trusting God for the outcome, do not cave in to anyone at any time, not even yourself, especially your peers. For you teens, don't cave in to other teens who are not walking with Christ. Why should you? Watch, stand fast in the faith. Be brave, be strong. You're either going to rumble or you're going to crumble. That's what it comes down to. You're either going to fight these things or you're going to surrender to them. There's glory in overcoming the evil that you face. Philippians 2, that you may become blameless and harmless. Blameless does not mean without sin. That you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. How do you know that that teen or that youth or that other person who is sinning, who you are standing up against their sin, how do you know that standing against their perversity may lead to their salvation? It just might. And that's what Paul is saying to the Philippians. Children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. Well, a light shines to show the way in the world. In the end, the world will have to be destroyed. The world system is going to die. And I'll close with this verse, 2 Peter chapter 3. But the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. That's what the Bible says. He's talking about that world system that has been hijacked by Satan. It is now global, We're getting towards the end. The Bible prophecies are becoming increasingly obvious to those who believe. And it is our job to help those who don't believe.
Thanks for joining us for today's teaching on Cross Reference Radio. This is the radio ministry of Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville, in Virginia. We trust that what you've heard today has been something to remember. If you'd like to listen to more teachings from this series, go to crossreferenceradio.com. Once more, that's crossreferenceradio.com. We encourage you to subscribe to our podcast, too, so you'll never miss another edition. Just go to your favorite podcast app to subscribe. You can also connect with us through YouTube. We hope you'll tune in again next time as we continue spending time reading God's Word and learning together. Make a note in your calendar to join Pastor Rick again right here on Cross Reference Radio.